appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I want to welcome everyone here to the house of the Lord this morning. And if you want to read the verses of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn to a very, very, very well-known passage of Scripture. It's found in the book of Psalms, and it is Psalms 150. Psalms 150. We're going to read just six verses this morning. Psalms 150, beginning with verse number one. When you got it, say amen. I love this. The scripture said, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him," listen to this, "praise him according to his excellent greatness." God is so awesome. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Now, I will tell you right now, I'm willing to play bass and I'm willing to sing and I'm willing to shout, but Pastor, don't dance a lot, all right? Praise him with the stringed instruments and the organs. And I love this. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And then he concludes by saying, "Let everything that hath breath," everything that has breath, "praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you bow your heads and let us pray briefly and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing in ministering the word. My Lord Jesus, I am so inadequate without you, and I depend completely upon you. And I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would touch me with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. That you would cause me to speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Put your words in my mind, your words in my heart, and in my mouth. Let them come forth under the anointing with power, with simplicity. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear what you would speak to us today. Let Christ be glorified. Let your people be edified. And we will forever give you the praise. Touch me now. Bless me now to be a blessing. And I ask it in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. I want to title my message this morning, "The Breakthrough Power of Praise." My message this morning is not a new word, but it is a true word. Amen. You may have heard some of the things that I speak this morning, but amen, I often think that sometimes we just need to be put in remembrance of maybe what we already know. Can you say amen? So let me begin this morning by just asking a simple question. How many of you could stand to see a breakthrough in some area of your life? Hello? Heidi's got two hands. If some folks could get both feet off the floor, we'd have both hands and both feet up, right? Maybe you're here today and you have a particular situation or a particular circumstance that, amen, you just need a breakthrough. You may need a breakthrough in your marriage, or you may need a breakthrough in your spiritual walk with God. Maybe you have been feeling dry and empty and barren on the inside, or like you have hit the ceiling and you just simply cannot reach any higher. We've all been there. Can you say amen this morning? Maybe you need a breakthrough in your finances or a breakthrough in your health, and you need a healing from God. I came to tell you this morning that there is power in our praise. There is power in our praise this morning. I came to tell you that often we overlook some of the spiritual weapons that God has placed in our hand. And one of those weapons is the simple act of praise. There is breakthrough power. The Bible encourages us. The Bible exhorts us, and the Bible even commands us to praise the Lord. If you still have your Bible open, look at that sixth verse one more time. The scripture said, let everything that has breath. If you are breathing this morning, then God is talking to you. And if you're not breathing, it's a whole nother situation. But if you got breath in your lungs this morning, God is speaking to you. Let everything that has breath, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. That's not a suggestion, amen. That's not a suggestion, amen. But it is a commandment of the Lord. Amen. If we are breathing and we have been blessed with life, then we ought to have enough in us to say, thank God for His many blessings. So we are instructed. We are commanded of the Lord to praise. So this morning, let's begin by defining what praise really is. Amen. You may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, that's simple. Praise is the fast songs that we sing before the announcements and before the offering. And then worship are the last two songs that we sing before you come to the podium to preach. Right? Not exactly. Not exactly. Let me just share something with you this morning. Do you realize that the New Testament word that is interpreted in our Bible as praise, that Greek word, it can stand for really several things. Amen. It stands for the word praise. It stands for the word worship. It can stand for the word glory. It can stand for the word honor. And it is translated from the very same Greek word. The only thing that gives it a different essence is the context of our English Bible. So depending upon the context of where it's being used, it can mean glory, it can mean worship, it can mean praise, it can mean honor. But the root word of the meaning of the Greek word, the root word is glory. In other words, the word praise means that we are to give glory to God. We are to give honor to God. We are to give worship and praise unto God. Amen. It could be defined as this. And I prayed this week, Lord, how best could I simplify it to show the difference between worship and praise? It could be paraphrased or simplified in this manner. Worship is how we esteem God in our heart. Worship is an attitude of adoration. Worship is an overwhelming, heartfelt gratitude that realizes just how good God has been to us. If I ask for a show of hands this morning, how many of you could say that God has been good to you? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. I know the Lord has been good to me. If it had not been for Jesus, I wouldn't even be here this morning. Amen. Amen. Let me just tell you, worship comes from a heart of gratitude, and worship can happen without a sound ever escaping your lips. Worship is just a reverent awe in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord. You can worship without ever uttering a single word. Have you ever just looked up into the heavens and felt the touch of the Holy Spirit, and you were just simply overwhelmed by the goodness of the Lord, and you just couldn't help but think in your heart, oh God, you've been so good to me. Oh God, you have blessed me more than my worth. You blessed me coming in, and you blessed me going out. You've made me the head and not the tail. Amen. Everything that I have and everything that I am is all because of my God. Amen. You can worship without ever uttering a sound. It is an emotion that comes from a heart of adoration. It is an emotion that comes, amen, from the heart, how we esteem and how we value God. Praise, on the other hand, is the articulation of an outward expression of that adoring heart. Amen. Let me say that another way. We praise God, or when we praise God, we give vent or give expression. Amen. Or we give voice to the love and the reverence that we are feeling within our heart. So worship has to do with estimation. Worship has to do with how we esteem. Worship has to do with how we cherish and reverence and value God. But praise has to do with articulation. Amen. Praise has to do with an outward expression of an inward felt adoration for the Lord. Praise has more to do with a demonstration and the manifestation of our worship. Am I making any sense to anybody? Amen. You can worship without saying a word, but praise has to have a vent. Praise has to have an outlet. Praise has to have, amen, an expression. Amen. You can worship in silence. You can worship in silent awe. But praise has to have an expression, a release. The Bible tells us praise requires an action. Praise requires a voice. And the Bible tells us to praise Him. And when the Bible says to praise ye the Lord, He is saying, amen, amen. He is calling for us to express, or calling for us, amen, to declare or to give expression to our heartfelt love for God. Perhaps it is a shout of praise. Perhaps it is an outburst of applause. Perhaps, amen, you express your praise with an uplifted hand. But what I'm saying this morning, amen, is that God challenges us, amen, not just to be silent in our worship, but God challenges us to lift up our holy hands and give a shout of praise unto the heavens. And praise ye the Lord. Look at our text again. Look at the verses of our text one more time. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him with the psaltery, amen, or with the sound of the trumpet. That sound, there has to be an expression. There has to be a release. There has to be a vent. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. I mean, you know, when you dance, amen, you are expressing yourself in that dance. He said, praise Him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise requires a sound. Praise requires an action. Praise requires requires a release. And the Bible declares that we are to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 100, verse number 1 through verse number 5. The scripture said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, with expression, with the release of what's on the inside of your heart. Amen. Let me just go down to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. Hebrews said, by him, by Jesus Christ, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. The fruit of our lips, the expression of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Amen. Worship can happen on the inside. You can be driving down the road and just thanking the Lord, amen, without ever uttering a sound, tears running down your face. But when the Bible talks about praise, he's talking about elevating your voice, lifting up your hands, and magnifying God. Hallelujah. Notice this morning that Psalms chapter 50, 150, talks about praising him with all sorts of instruments, an outward expression. Psalms 100 talks about making a joyful noise, coming into his presence with singing. Again, an outward expression. Hebrews 13, we read it. Amen. Hebrews 13 talks about the fruit of our lips giving thanks, our verbal utterance, our verbal expression. Again, an outward expression of an inward love. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. We Pentecostals oftentimes, amen, have a bad rap for being a little bit exuberant. We Pentecostals sometimes have a bad rap for being a little too excited. Amen. We get a bad rap. Amen. For just being a little too expressive. But I came to tell you this morning that the Bible requires us, amen, to express ourselves. Don't sit up in the house of God and tell me that you're praising God, amen, silently to yourself. No, praise has to have a release. And when you release your praise, brother, God, amen, will move on your behalf. Hallelujah. And just so you know, there is power in our praise. Amen. There is power in our praise. Let me just remind you this morning that the walls of Jericho did not come down with a battering ram. They fell because the sound of the shofar was blown and the people shouted with a great shout. And when they shouted, God moved on their behalf and God brought the walls down. Hallelujah. Amen. I got 4 points I want to share with you this morning. Power in our praise. When we learn how to express. Somebody said, well, I don't want to be as radical as you are, Brother Gary. I can't say that I blame you, but I'm going to tell you, amen, I feel it all the way down to my toes. Amen. But there is breakthrough power in our praise. And sometimes we face situations and we face circumstances that when they seem they will not budge, like those walls of Jericho, if we will just learn how to express our praise and give vent to what we're feeling on the inside and begin to shout a shout of praise and begin to lift up our hands and wave at the heavens and magnify the Lord. Brother, God will move on our behalf. Amen. Let me just share with you 4 things that praise will induce. Number one, praise secures the presence of God. Praise secures the presence of God. How many of you ever read in Psalms chapter 22 and verse number 3 that God inhabits the praise of his people? Amen. Somebody said, what's your address, Pastor Gary? I can tell you God's address. It's praise. You want to know where God's living? He lives at the street of praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits the praise of his children. And when we begin to praise, it will secure the presence of God. How many of you here this morning need the presence of the Lord in your life? Me need the presence of the Lord in a situation. You need the presence of the Lord in a situation. Open up your mouth and begin to give God a praise. And God inhabits the praise of his people. And when you praise, it'll secure his presence in your life. Do you have scripture for that? I am glad that you ask. 2 Chronicles. It really begins in chapter 3 and it goes all the way through chapter 5. And I won't go into a great deal of detail this morning. But 2 Chronicles, chapter 3 through 5, Solomon has built a temple for God. David wanted to build the temple. But God said, no, David, you're not going to be the one to build the temple, but your son, I'll allow him to build the temple. And so Solomon, and you can read about it in 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. It goes into great detail of all of the material that it took to build the temple, all of the sacrifice and the labor that it took to build the temple. And then it came in chapter 5, amen, it came to the day of dedication. Now, how many of you know a building is just a building if God ain't there? Amen. So the children of Israel have all gathered themselves around the temple of the Lord and they have offered sacrifice. And I'm going to read to you from chapter 5, verse number 11, down through verse number 14. It says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. Amen. For the priests were all present and they were sanctified. And it did not wait by course. And it says that the Levites and all of the singers were arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. And they stood at the east end of the altar. Amen. And with them there was 120 priests that were blowing on a trumpet. You want to think we're loud? Hey, I'm going to tell you what. They had a crowd and they had a crew worshiping the Lord. And the Bible says in that 13th verse, it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers, amen, were as one making a sound to be heard in praising and thanksgiving unto the Lord when they lifted up their voice and with the trumpets and the cymbals and the music saying, praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. The Bible said as they begin to sing and they begin to praise that the Spirit of the living God came down like a cloud and it overshadowed that building where they were. What brought the presence of God? Nothing but the praise and the adoration and the worship of his people. Hallelujah. As they praised, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. As they praised, the glory of God came down in such a way that they were unable to proceed. It disrupted business as usual. Amen. As they praised, it secured the presence of the Lord. As they praised, God took over. Amen. How many of you here this morning have a need in your life that you need God to just take over? I'm going to tell you how to get it. Begin to praise and begin to worship and begin to magnify the Lord. And when you begin to praise, it'll secure the presence of God. God. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning was just a little example. Hello? I said, I love it when we throw the song list out the window. Amen. I love it, you know, when the announcements don't get made and we forget to take the offering and we really don't care. I love it when we get past 12 o'clock and nobody cares that the preacher's getting long-winded. Hello? I love it when God takes over the order of the service. And when God's people begin to praise, it'll secure the presence of the Lord. How many of you would like God to take over some situations in your life? Open your mouth and give him a praise and let him know that you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So number one, praise secures the presence of God. Number two, praise secures victory. Praise secures victory. How many of you could use a little victory? Praise. Unleash the power of praise. Amen. Let me take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You remember the story of Jehoshaphat? Somebody said, not only do I not remember the story, I'm not sure that's a real name. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he gets wind that the armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites have all come out against him. You'll read about it there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Someone came to Jehoshaphat and said, there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of Syria. Amen. And behold, they are in Hazantamar. Amen. Which is in Gedi. And the Bible said when Jehoshaphat heard it, he feared. Fear suddenly gripped his heart, and it drove him to his knees, and he began to pray. And he began to say, Lord, are you not our God? Have you not created the heaven and the earth, and beside thee there is none other? Are we not your people? And Lord, behold, the Ammonites and the Moabites who've come to cast us out of the very land that you gave us. And Jehoshaphat says to the Lord, and we don't know what to do. We have no might and no power against them, and we don't know what to do. And the Bible says that upon one of the prophets, Jehazel, one of the prophets, came the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord began to speak, and the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, amen, you don't have to fear for this multitude that has come out against thee, for the battle is not your battle, but the battle belongs to God. Amen. All I need you to do is stand faithful and be faithful unto the Lord, and I will fight your battle for you, and I'll give you the victory. Amen. The Bible said that the next morning when they arose bright and early, they started putting their battle plan together to go out and meet the enemy. And you will read about it there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I encourage you to read it this week. It's a powerful story. I am just hitting the highlights. And they're putting their battle plan together. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he said, all right, here's the battle plan. He says, hear me, O Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when they got the battle plan together, Jehoshaphat said, I'm going to put the singers and the musicians right out at the front of the battle. Hello? Now, I'm not a military man, but that just seems like a really bad plan. I'm not a general or I'm not a major or anything like that, but it just seems like a plan that is destined to fail. Hello? I mean, if it were me putting this thing together, I would have put my most fierce warriors out in the front. And I shouldn't say that. And when they fail, I turn and run. Right? No, Jehoshaphat said, that ain't what we're going to do. Amen. Why? Because this battle does not belong to me. This battle is the Lord's battle. And I'm going to put the singers and the praisers right out in the front. And we're going to march toward the enemy singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And I can see them in my mind. Amen. They are marching down the road singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And they're marching toward the camp of the enemy. Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Amen. And you know what happened? While they were singing, the Bible said that God set ambushments against the Moabites and the Ammonites. And they jumped up and began to kill one another, until there was nobody standing on the battlefield. And here come God's little band of 20. Praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. And I can see him marching around the corner going, oh, praise the Lord. Look at this. And you know what the Bible said? It took them 3 days to collect all of the spoil. I mean, they were pulling rings and chains and all kinds of good stuff off of the fallen army. Amen. They won the victory. You know why? Because praise secures the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. When you need a victory, begin to praise the Lord. When you need a victory, begin to magnify the Lord. When you need a victory, begin to express your praise and your confidence in your God. And God will see you through. Hallelujah. Number three. Number one, praise secures the presence of God. If you want the presence of God, praise. Praise secures the victory of God. If you need some victory in your life, praise. Number three, praise secures an unburdening in your life. Praise secures an unburdening in your life. Some of you here this morning are walking around with the weight of the world on your shoulders. Amen. Some of you here this morning, amen, feel like the whole world is caving in on you. Amen. Well, let me just tell you, praise will shift that load from your shoulders onto the shoulders of God. Amen. Preacher, do you have word to back that up? Look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse number three. The Bible tells us that we are to exchange the spirit of heaviness by putting on the garment of praise. Let me say that again. We are to exchange the spirit of heaviness by putting on a garment of praise. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3. This is what the word of God says. Amen. God says, I've come to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion I've come to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, those who are of a heavy heart, those who feel like the world is crashing in around them. I've come to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Here's what he come to do. I come to give unto them beauty for ashes. Glory to God. I come to give them beauty for ashes. How many of you ever had a situation that just crumbled in your hand and it turned into a pile of ashes? God said, I've come to take your ashes and make something beautiful out of them. He said, I've come to give them the oil of joy for the spirit of mourning. Amen. How many have ever seen someone that just, you know, was walking into the church house and they looked, they were dragging their bottom lip, looked like they lost their last friend. Hello? Just so worn down and heavy, just so defeated and so give out. God said, I've come to give you the oil of joy. Amen. For the spirit of mourning. And then he says, and I come to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now I'm on. A garment. God said, I have come to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But how many of you know we got to put it on? I said, we got to put it on. Hello? Somebody said, well, I got up out of bed this morning. I didn't feel like praising God. Praise has nothing to do with the way that you feel. If you wait till you feel like praising God, you will never praise God. But praise is an act of your will. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's given us the garment of praise with a spirit of heaviness, but it's up to us to put it on. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us didn't get dressed this morning. Hello? Said it wasn't me. I ain't the dress I'm talking about. Got up on the wrong side of the bed and you got an old grumpy goat coat on. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and watch God give you the oil of gladness and watch God turn your ashes into something beautiful and watch that old heavy spirit leave your heart and the joy of the Lord become your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to hurry. Hallelujah. Praise secures the presence of God. Praise secures victory. Praise secures an unburdening, a lifting of your spirit, a lifting of your heart. How many of you know the Bible said he is the lifter of our head? I love that. My granddaughter come to me here a little while back. Big old crocodile tears. Head all down. I reached down and I took a hold of her chin and I lifted her head up. I said, baby, what's wrong? Papa. She began to tell me what the problem was. I said, don't worry, I got that. I can fix that. I can handle that. He is the lifter of our head. Amen. He is the lifter of our head. When we come to him brokenhearted and all heavy and bound, he just reaches down and says, son, daughter, what's the matter? Amen. He lifts our chin up, amen, off of our chest and said, don't worry about this. I got that. I can fix that. I know you got trouble. I know you got problems, but I got it all under control. Hallelujah. Finally, Praise secures release. Praise secures release. Some of you here this morning are bound, and you need to be released. And I came to tell you that praise secures an open door. Praise secures release. Again, Brother Gary, do you have chapter and verse for that? How about Acts chapter 16? And you will read about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas. Paul had a vision in the night of someone from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Paul said immediately after he had experienced this vision that they endeavored to go into Macedonia. They arrive. They are preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. A woman named Lydia is converted. Again, I am hitting the highlights. Read the story, Acts chapter 16, this coming week. A woman believes the report of the Lord, and she is saved in her house and baptized. And she constrains Paul and Silas to come and stay with her. And day after day, Paul and Silas are there in that city preaching the gospel. And while they are preaching the gospel, there is the woman that is filled with a demonic spirit of divination. And she follows Paul and Silas around, saying, these men are men of God, and they have come to teach us the way of salvation. Now, let me just stop there for a minute to tell you, right message, wrong messenger. If you don't think God isn't concerned about the messenger and the message, you're wrong. This demonic-filled individual had the right message. These men are men of God, and they have come to show us the way of salvation. Right message, but the wrong messenger. Now, that'll preach in itself. Amen, Brother Dean, this preacher right over here, you think, oh, yeah, I hear you, brother. Amen, that'll preach all on its own. Amen, right message, wrong messenger. And Paul got fed up with it. He did not want the enemy, he did not want a demonic spirit, amen, bearing witness to who they were, that they were the messengers of God. And Paul turns around and rebukes her and said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And she was immediately set free from that demonic spirit. But it got Paul and Silas in trouble. How many of you know preaching the truth will sometimes get you in trouble? It's true. What do? You keep right on preaching the truth, and pretty soon the truth will set you free. Can you say amen? It'll get you out of trouble. So the Bible says when the men that owned this slave or this woman, they saw that all hope of their gain was gone. She had a spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller. She had a spirit of divination. She could tell folks' fortune. And those that owned her used that thing in her to get gain. Now she is set free, and she can no longer, tell the future. She no longer has that demonic spirit in her, and they go, well, now we ain't going to make any money. And so they riled up everybody in the city council, amen, against Paul and Silas. And the Bible says that they took them, stripped them of their clothes, and they beat them with many stripes, and they charged the jailer, don't you dare let these guys out. Don't let them escape. And so the jailer, the Bible said, not wanting them to escape, he takes them to the inner part of the prison. And not only that, does he take them into the inner part of the prison, but he puts their feet in stocks. He puts their hands in chains and binds them and locks them up. And here they sat, blood running down their back. They could have got all discouraged and said, well, I don't feel like praising the Lord right now. You think you heard from God sending us over here? I don't think so. God wouldn't send me into a situation like this. Hello? Oh yeah, he will. I'll let you know that right now. Oh, yeah, he will. He'll send you right through the middle of the trouble. But here's what he promised. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's what he promised. So here's Paul and Silas sitting in the inner prison, blood running down their back. And the Bible said at midnight they prayed and they began to sing praises unto God. They prayed and they began to express their worship. They prayed and they began to release their gratitude, their reverence and their estimation of God's value. They begin to praise. And you know what happened when they begin to praise? The Bible says that God began to rock the jailhouse with an earthquake. And the chains that were holding on to them fell off. And the doors that held them captive swung open. I said, prayer secures release. If you need your spirit set free today, open your mouth and begin to praise God. There's a miracle in your mouth. There's an earthquake in your mouth. Amen. There's a move of God in your praise. You want God to break through in your situation? Begin to praise the Lord, and praise will bring release. Hallelujah. Let me wrap it up. Four things. Praise secures the presence of God. Praise secures victory. Praise secures an unburdening of your burdens. Praise secures release. And oftentimes, we can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. But when we begin to praise, that's when the answer comes. Let me give you a personal testimony and I'll hush. Hush, that's Southern for hush up. So I remember years ago, I've never had back trouble in my life, ever. Years ago, I don't know what I did. I strained something, pulled something, tweaked something. And I was traveling, holding revivals all over the country. And I would get in the car and drive for 500 miles. And, you know, every time I'd get out of the car, I'd go, oh, yeah. I'd walk real timid for a little while until it finally kind of got straightened up. That went on for 3 months. 3 months, same thing. Oh, I'm sitting there studying one day, getting ready for the service that night. I had a revival service to preach that night. I'm sitting there studying, and I reached over to pick up my Bible, and my back kind of tweaked, and the Lord said, why are you putting up with that? Well, I asked you to heal me. He said, why are you just letting that hinder you? Why are you just letting that hound you? And I said, you know, Lord, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed. Thank you that by your stripes I've been delivered. Thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you that I am the healed of the Lord. I got up to get ready for the service that night. I said, I am the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I know what that feels like, but I also know what you said. Thank you. Thank you. About a week later, I was back in Emmett in my home church, and I was preaching that Sunday morning. A woman came up for prayer. She said, I need you to pray for my back. Now listen, all week long, every time that pain had twinged in my back, I would say, thank you, Lord, that I am the healed of the Lord. This girl come up in front of me and she said, I don't know what I did. I was mowing the yard and I hurt my back. Can you pray that the Lord will touch my back? And the devil jumped right on my shoulder and said, how in the world can you pray for her in faith for her back when your back still hurts? And I said, because I am the healed of the Lord. Everybody there must have thought I went mad, but I'm going to tell you, the minute I said it, she got healed, I got healed, and I've never had back trouble again. You need a breakthrough? Praise the Lord. Open your mouth and magnify God. When you magnify God, it just means that you are recognizing and declaring that God is bigger than your trouble. Magnify the Lord. Worship Him with praise and with thanksgiving. That is the whole reason for the church. To praise the Lord. He said, if you don't praise me, that the rocks and the stones will cry out to me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want no rock doing my praising. Amen. If we do not praise him, we'll never know the tremendous value and the tremendous breakthrough power in praising God. I challenge you this morning. I challenge you this morning. Open your heart. You know you love God. Praise is not just that vented up or shut up love in your spirit, but praise is a release of that love. Open your mouth. Open your heart. Begin to worship the Lord. Amen. Some people may think you lost your mind. It may come in the form of a hallelujah. I was running around on the lawnmower the other day mowing the yard, and I just got to praying and praising the Lord, and I threw both hands up in the air. The wheel was on its own. I'm a hand both up in the air, and I'm like, glory to God. I looked across the way, and my neighbor Vince was out mowing his yard, and he's like, preacher went off his rocker. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. When we learn how to praise, it'll open up a power of victory in your life. Amen. That it'll break through things like the walls of Jericho. Amen. Things that seem to be impenetrable. Things that seem to be insurmountable. Oftentimes we are running to God, telling God how big our mountain is. God said, look, turn around, go back and tell your mountain how big your God is. Hello? Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning and just bow your heads. Musicians, come. Amen, amen, amen. Breakthrough, the breakthrough power of praise. The breakthrough power of praise. If you need a breakthrough this morning, financial breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough, whatever it is, maybe you need a healing. Maybe you need direction. Maybe you need, amen, some deliverance from some emotional baggage. Whatever it is, I dare you. I just dare you. To give vent to your love for God and open your heart and begin to worship and begin to praise as they sing. And they lead us in one more chorus before we leave this place this morning. Amen. Just open your heart and begin to praise the Lord and begin to worship God. Amen. You say, well, I don't want folks thinking I'm nuts. I've already fixed that for you. I've already fixed that for you. Just go ahead. Open your heart. Open your spirit. And begin to magnify the Lord. And when you feel the presence of the Lord, as you begin to magnify, when you feel the presence of the Lord, don't shut it off. Don't say, okay, I got a little touch, that's enough. No, 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 no. Hang on to the rope till you get what you need. Amen. Hang on to the lifeline until he gets you all the way to the shore. Amen. Worship him this morning.